A desert holiday, let's pack the drag away.
The emotion here last night was so strong that we, all three of us, felt we should be able to reach out into the warm night air and touch it.
This state is as wide open as Mother Hubbard's proverbial cupboard.
I'm not dancing with you till you dance like you're supposed to.
How's this, boys? Woo-hoo! What do you call this?
Chicken.
What we see and what we seem are but a dream. A dream within a dream.
Ned said it so far, we just about melted our tits off getting here.
I don't mean to be rude, man, but no torture, no thumbscrews. This is Australia. We're not allowed to get into that sort of thing, mate.
And action!
Wait! Better finish your orgasm.
Good morning, and welcome to the first Behind the Screens for 2013. Yes, we are back and raring to go with so much stuff for you on today's program. Of course, this is the show where we talk about all things local film production, and you are joined this morning by myself, Jordan, and the lovely, handsome Finley.
That's true. I am one of those things.
Coming up on today's program,
we've got a sweet interview. Well, I assume it's going to be sweet. It is live. With Nick and Karina of the Adelaide Artist Agency. We'll be talking to them about, managing actors in a local production environment.
Mm-hmm. And coming up just around the corner is the Tropfest Short Film Festival. And we're going to be chatting to Katie and Gareth from the Media Resource Centre about some of the films that have been shortlisted from our state. But we're going to start things off with a track from an Australian band, funnily enough.
Well, it makes sense.
It does make sense. This is Tame Impala with Feels Like It Only Goes Backwards. You're on Radio Adelaide, on digital radio, online, and 101.5 FM.
Great Scott! I've missed another episode of Real Time.
That's okay, Trista.
Wait, I can use my DeLorean time machine.
But
time circuits on. Input Wednesday nights at 10 PM on 101.5 FM.
Tristan, you do realise that you can catch up on all of our movie news, reviews and film discussions by listening to the podcast at realtimepodcast.com?
Podcasts? Where we're going, we don't need podcasts.
Real Time, Wednesdays at 10 or catch the podcast at realtimepodcast.com.
Damn, stored it.
Slacker.
Well, howdy there, folks. My name's Wilfred Turnbuckle. You know, I never owned a computer, never played on one, never even seen one. Which you may think is odd, seeing as I've been recorded on one and I'm playing through one to you now. So you could say my entire existence is on a computer. I don't pretend to know what that means, but one thing I do know is that Bleep on Mondays at midnight with Tom and Steve is a barrel load of fun. Whether you know about computers or not, they are some funny guys, or at least that's what they paid me to say.
Well, I can say without being paid that the Bleep guys, they're hilarious. They really are. But they're not
paid. They are funny.
But they're not quite as amazing as the team behind this show right now, which is Behind the Screens. We're chatting all things local film today as we kick off the 2013 season.
Oh, yeah. And coming out with a bang, we're talking to Nick and Karina from the Adelaide Artist Agency. If you want to be an actor, perform in Adelaide, you want to get in on all the awesome film productions that we have in the state, where do you start? We're answering those questions. So thanks for being with us, guys.
Thanks
Hello.
For having us.
Do you want to just start by maybe telling us what an agency does for performers, for anyone who doesn't really know, and especially on sort of a smaller scale in an industry like South Australia?
Sure. I mean, as far as what an agency does, there's a distinction to be made between agency and management. As an agency, our job is to respond to producers, to casting agents, to directors that come to us looking for talent. As far as the talent themselves are concerned, we run a register, and we hope to encourage that register of talent to get the actors themselves to build experience, to build their skills, to do workshops, to get involved with student projects, to get involved with unpaid projects, because all the time they're learning new skills, learning new talents, learning how to behave on set, learning how to understand the technicalities of it. And then when the big productions come along, as they are now doing, when they come along, our guys are ready to perform.
Mm. So why is it important to be represented by an agency, to be on a register with an agency, as opposed to, I guess, trying to, represent yourself in the industry?
I suppose it's when a casting agent comes, you know, is looking for actors, it's that middle person that has a whole group. So rather than them having to deal with hundreds and thousands of individual actors, they go to acting agents where they have a pool of actors already. And it's important for us as agents to know our actors individually. You know, we're going to the theatre all the time. We're going this afternoon to watch a performer, maybe this evening as well. You know, it's especially fringe time, it's going to be very busy. But really important for us to get to know our actors. So when a casting agent comes to us, or a director or producer comes to us, we can say this person will suit that role. They've got the emotional ability to cover that range for that particular character, or whatever the needs are.
How important is it? I mean, I assume you guys probably represent a whole number of people, but getting to know them so that you can make sure that, you know, your offers are, I guess, tailor-suited.
I think we're a boutique agency, so we have a limited number of people on our books. And I always say, the day I say, who's that person? I know we've got too big. We've really reached capacity now. It is busy because we do have social events all the time. We catch up with our actors all the time. We're watching them perform, seeing the films they've made, and it does get very busy. But we love it, and we have a very good relationship with our actors. They all become friends of ours, which is really lovely. So it is we feel like we're a big family.
That's nice. So what sort of qualities do you look for in the people that you do represent?
I think that one of the things that we've discovered is that, and we have come into this business by being actors ourselves. We recognize that the art of acting is about reacting to others. So the biggest quality you're looking for is somebody who can actually empathize with other people, because they can understand the emotional range of other people. They can understand how people would react in certain situations. So, in fact, when we have our first conversation with people, it's not so much about experience. It's about what are these people like, and what are their reactions to others? How do they respond when we're talking to them? And you learn so much just from a conversation. And there's a phrase, it's not a technical phrase, but Corinne and I will say, yeah, that person gets it. And getting it is what it's all about, just getting how people relate, how people talk, how they respond. It's so important.
I think a lot of people too think, oh, no, I couldn't be an actor. And I always say to them, did you ever play dress-ups and make-believe? Because that is acting. And what happens is we become inhibited as we get older, and we think, oh, no, that's not cool anymore. I always say to kids that we teach and adults, I say, we're really just kids playing dress-ups and make-believe, but we call it acting because it sounds a lot cooler. But it's sort of unleashing the child within to have the freedom to become somebody else. And it's a great fun activity to be involved in. But I also think that we look for a range of looks. You know, people sort of think you have to be like a model or something, and it's like, no, they want real life people of all sorts of ages, sizes, looks, and that's what is, you know, that's what's used for film and commercial work, because they're wanting real life situations.
So are there a lot of agencies here in South Australia? Do you find, is there ever any competition at all?
No, I think there's a few agents here. We all work together, I think, in the fact that we can't have everybody on our books. We're, being a boutique agency ourselves, you know, we sort of respect the fact that we've got friends in other agencies, and we sort of feel that's great. You know, they're looking after you, we're looking after our people. And as I said, we're being a boutique agency, we can't have everybody there. So it's like if we're full, we're full. And I imagine that's the same with the other agents as well.
And I guess, like you were saying, the diversity of, you know, the people, the performers in Adelaide, that, you know, different people representing different people that would suit different roles, I guess.
I'm just wondering, how did you guys get started? You know, coming from an acting background, I mean, you started as actors. At what point did you decide to represent people?
We were very fortunate, because being actors, we were on the books of Adelaide Artist Agency. And the lovely lady who ran the agency before decided she was going to go into early retirement so she could travel. And she offered the business to us, and we sort of kicked each other under the table thinking, yes, this is a dream that, you know, we had never imagined that we would be ending up being acting agents. So, and the people we've got on our books are amazing. We have some very professional actors that have acted in Phantom of the Opera and Secret Garden and all sorts of fantastic things around Australia and the world. So we keep kicking ourselves. I keep saying, pinch me, please, because is this real? Are we really doing this? So it, yeah, it's a fantastic journey.
That's wonderful. And you already had a lot of talented people in the books already when you took the business over.
Exactly right.
So, yeah, I was going to ask how it was starting it from the ground up, but that's not what happened.
So, obviously, over the years, you know, we always talk about how technology has become such a big thing, the internet, social media. Has that changed the way you operate as an agency at all?
I think it's... I mean, it hasn't changed for us because we've been running it throughout that era. We took over the agency just over 2.5 years ago now. So we came into the agency with the social networking media around us. But there's no doubt that the way that casting agents communicate with us is so different now. The fact that we're able to do, I mean, we do screen tests for international and for interstate casting agents. We'll do a screen test with some of our actors, and those screen tests are transmitted straight away over to Sydney or wherever it may be around the globe. And unbelievably, here we are in the county town environment of Adelaide with this very close community, which is so lovely, and we're sending off screen tests for actors that are going to be considered for roles. We've got one guy at the moment being considered for a role with Ewan McGregor. We've just had people in a film with Guy Pearce. It's just in Adelaide, we're doing this in Adelaide. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's just, it's unreal, but it's real.
And I think our main aim as agents is to put Adelaide on the map. We have the cast, we have crew, you know, filmmakers here that are brilliant. We're out to support the emerging filmmakers. We actually are guest lecturers at Flinders University to help them understand how to look after actors on a set and how to go about finding actors, and at McGill as well, and the MAP students as well, all fabulous students at schools of film. And we always say to our actors, go for it, go and have the experience on these film sets, because you never know who's going to be the next Scott Hicks. And you know, it's the networking, it's getting out there, and it's a beautiful industry. The people are really beautiful to be with, and you do feel like it's a big family in Adelaide. And any film set you go on, you'll know somebody there that you've met before.
Even walking into a radio studio, you never know who you're going to bump into.
Well, we certainly agree. We love the local film industry here.
And 2013's off to a, you know, brilliant start for the South Australian industry, isn't it? There's so much going on in film, and then I guess theatre with the Fringe, you know.
Oh, it's awesome. This is a really exciting time of year, and this year we've been stunned by the amount of activity that's occurring right now, the number of castings that have been coming in, again, interstate as well as South Australia, but just phenomenal. It's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly surprised by it, but wonderfully surprised. How do you guys sort of, you've had some success with your more experienced actors, you were saying, obviously, with Guy Pearce and Ewan McGregor, but you guys run workshops as well.
Mm-hmm.
How important are the workshops for artistic development, especially for people sort of just starting acting?
Well, first of all, we've got to go back to what we were saying earlier on about playing make-believe and getting it, having that sort of empathetic characteristic that we think makes an actor, even if they don't have experience. So even people starting up can be great actors. They can be great actors without even knowing it. But doing the workshops, for us, we think they're essential for us ourselves as agents, because we get to understand the range of people, we get to understand what they're capable of, we get to understand what help they need to develop. And there's no doubt that it helps the actors themselves in terms of exploring new ways of developing characterizations, of understanding scripts, of responding to different styles of auditions. So essential for them, invaluable for them in terms of the fact that by learning these new crafts and new ways of getting into character, imagine you're standing, hanging around on a film shoot and you're all having a chat about what you're doing at the weekend, and then the assistant director comes over and says, okay, Nick, we're ready for you now. We're just going to shoot that scene where you go and tell somebody that somebody's just died.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, so now I'm going to suddenly switch from this conversation about what we were doing last week and what wonderful weather we had down in Port Elliot, and it was great on the beach and the waves were rolling in, and now I'm going to go and tell somebody that somebody's died, and I've got to make it real. And you have to get there really quickly. You have to, your head has to go to that place where all of the backstory comes rushing in about where I've come from, how did I get to be in this place right now, and what is it that I'm delivering, and why am I saying this, and how important is this person to me? And there's so much there that you have to try and take on board very quickly and to be able to give a realistic delivery. That's workshop experience that will help you to get there.
And so it's not necessarily teaching them how to act, but the, giving them the tools necessary to let that those skills come out.
We would never dream of trying to teach somebody how to act. You know,
can you teach someone how to act? That's a big question.
I think it's unleashing the actor within. And it's a wonderful life skill. I mean, I've been a teacher for years and counsellor, and it is a perfect way to explore human behaviour, human relationships through acting. You know, it's a wonderful tool. So it's a life skill within itself, just to act, even if people don't want to pursue acting as a career or anything. A lot of people, I mean, in Adelaide here, people tend to have full-time jobs to be able to act because the industry isn't that huge. Hopefully it'll change. Some people wait tables because they'll drop everything to go out and act, you know, and but some people also do it purely as a hobby. And just, you were saying before, the range of people that we've got, from the experienced to the not so experienced, there's always something for an inexperienced actor. To be an extra on a film set is a wonderful experience. Just to be involved with the whole crew around you and the buzz of it all and the cameras and the lights and the continuity person and the having your photo taken and having your makeup done, you know, being on a film set is a lot of fun.
Well, Nick and Karina from the Adelaide Artists Agency, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I think
it's
given us some really interesting insight as to the ways in which, I guess, artists can, you know, get themselves out there in the industry. And if you're interested in finding out more about the Adelaide Artists Agency, head to adelaideartists.com.au.
Thank you.
We're going to head to a track from Blue Juice. This is Broken Leg. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Katie Powell from the Media Resource Centre.
That was Fred Astaire by San Cisco.
And you are on Behind the Screens with Jordan and Finley this morning on Radio Adelaide, digital radio, online and 101.5 FM. Now, TropFest is one of the largest nationwide short film festivals, and it's right around the corner. There are three short films from the state that have been shortlisted for TropFest Junior, which is the part of the festival dedicated to films made by kids under 15. Agora, How to Make a Horror Movie, and Jumping Championships are the three films up for that list. Katie Powell and Gareth Wilkes from the Media Resource Centre worked closely with these kids, and they've come in this morning to tell us a bit about it. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, to start off, can you just give us a bit of an idea of what exactly is TropFest and how it sort of is different to other film festivals?
Well, TropFest is Australia's most prestigious short film festival and one of its most iconic cultural events. It happens annually, and this year, as with every year, it takes place in Sydney, but usually they have national events around the country as a celebration. It's completely free. The reason why it's prestigious is because it gets a lot of support from high-profile celebrities who tend to be involved in the judging process.
And what's quite unique about TropFest is that they have a requirement that the film is made specifically for that festival. And so each year they have a different signature item that has to be included in the film, basically as proof that it was made for that festival.
That's really interesting. So, because I guess most film festivals, you know, people will make a film and then they'll sort of try to get it to as many film festivals as they can, whereas this is one where you've got to actually do some work. Yeah. Just for this.
They can tell, though. They can definitely tell. They say, look, like, for example, this year's TSI, that's the acronym. They said for adult it's Balloon, and for TropFest Junior it's Jump. And they always say, we know if a sneaky balloon has been added in. So you will not even be shortlisted. You won't even be looked at.
Yeah.
They apparently can tell. They've got magical powers.
It would be really funny if you just have like the CGI balloon float past in the background.
I'm sure it's been attempted.
High quality film.
Yeah.
So TropFest Junior is the under 15s portion of the festival?
Yes, it is.
And so are there any other special requirements for people getting their films in then?
It has to be under 7 minutes in total. And for the kids, you know, it is age 15 and under. And two of our, well, we made four films in total, and two of them were shortlisted. And last year was the first time we actually ran the Trotfest Junior Bootcamp. And again, we made two films. They were both shortlisted, and then one got into the finals. So we have a lot of pressure on us to get into the finals again this year. So, otherwise, we'll have unhappy parents to deal with.
And they're the worst, let's face it.
So can you tell us a bit more about the Trotfest Bootcamp? I mean...
Well, the Media Resource Centre runs a boot camp basically for kids interested in making film but maybe don't have the facilities or the infrastructure around them to be able to create a film. And we offer a boot camp where they are sort of given a mentor. But access to equipment, and within a 5-day period, it's very intense. They have to create a script, come up with an idea, create a script as a group, and then write the script, shoot the script, and then edit the whole film between Monday and Friday.
Wow! And we made four.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's a big ask.
That is one intense week.
Yeah. So I mean, you definitely give the kids access to a lot of resources that kids don't typically have access to.
Exactly. And it's a great training ground. There's a lot of these kids come in because they want to be filmmakers. And, you know, the benefit of the boot camp is that for as many kids have it reinforced that that's what they want to do, there are others that realise that it's not maybe quite what they thought it would be.
I find it interesting, though, because for kids at these ages, they've probably been at home, you know, maybe with a handy cam or something, just, you know, playing around. Are they all, do you get kids that are a bit shell-shocked when they walk in, they're like, you're like, you have access to all these things, and they just go, ah!
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's that whole experience of, oh, we're bored of the planning, we want to get shooting. And then they start shooting, and they're, oh, we're bored of the shooting, can we start editing now? And then they get to the edit, and it's, oh, the editing's kind of boring. You know, there's a lot of kids that feel that way, but just as much there are kids that come in and go, oh, wow, this is really intense but really exciting, and this is definitely what I want to do.
That's why we actually run it that way, though, so they really have that realistic perspective of what it's like to be a filmmaker. And just because you might be, you know, kind of aspiring to be a writer, it still means that you will have to work with a group and really, really understand the technicalities and that filmmaking is a collaborative process.
And I guess the big thing is that there's some tight deadlines there, whereas for, you know, for kids when you're doing work at school, usually you have a much larger period of time than just 4 days to do something.
There's a lot more leniency, I think, I've probably not in year 12, but before year 12, there's that whole asking for an extension stuff, whereas, you know, if the film's not finished and you miss the deadline for the festival, well, then you miss the deadline. You can't, you know, and because of the signature item, you can't turn around and put it in next year's festival because it won't fit.
Well, unless you get really lucky.
Yeah.
It's like, gee, I just happened to have that right. In
one child was wearing a random yellow T-shirt. Yes.
Nailed it. Good work, team. So how was it working with all the kids? I mean, they say don't the rule, I guess, is don't work with animals and don't work with children. It's not really on the table here. So how, like, did you have any great stories that come out of this?
Oh, it was horrendous. No.
Gareth, he's...
We're very patient, I think.
Yeah, we're very, very patient.
Ask the children whether they agree with that. But, it was actually really good. We had some really, really good kids that were very passionate. We had some kids that only wanted to be actors, which actually removed a little bit of pressure as well. When you had ones that wanted to be filmmakers, you weren't having everybody clamouring to be the one behind the camera or everyone clamouring to be in front of the camera. As with any group, I guess there's always interesting dynamics, and it's sort of, you know, controlling the... differences of opinion and that sort of thing. You know, and that's not just a kid thing. That's, you put a bunch of creative people in a room together, there's always going to be fireworks. But the kids were generally very well-behaved and respectful of each other. And, you know, really ultimately there to produce the best finished product that they could.
They always leave, you know, they're like the best of friends. And the first day, they're ready to kill each other because when we especially open up, you know, the ideas and brainstorming session, everyone's like, and it's like, whoa, shh, everybody, just calm down one at a time. And, yeah, it's really funny how, like, the dynamics just shift.
And lo and behold, by the Friday, they're all sitting there asking for each other's Facebooks, adding each other, and, you know, they form long-term friendships.
It's very beautiful. process, actually. Yeah. And I think, you know, there are lots of funny stories happen during the week.
And it was great. We had some kids come back this year that were there last year, that met each other last year and had maintained contact since and came back together, which was fantastic. And, you know, even if they hadn't seen each other a lot, they were really, you know, they got along really well and enjoyed each other's company, which was fantastic.
Nice. We were talking to Nick and Karina from the Adelaide Artists Agency just a little while ago, and we were talking about how, you know, as you grow up and you get older, you start to inhibit some of your creative side, like, because you start to think, you know, like, oh, people aren't going to like that idea. Do you find working with kids that they just are throwing out so many more ideas than you would actually expect?
Definitely.
Yeah. I think it's that weird thing when you're, I remember being, you know, 15, 16 and in a classroom, and then like being 14 in the classroom, and like I was a lot more reserved and thinking, oh, I shouldn't really say that. I'm a grown-up now, whereas, you know, kids just have no qualms about doing that, like, and they come up with the most random, amazing ideas, and you're like, that is very cool.
Yeah, we had one kid in the group that just had the most fascinating ideas all the time. And
can
Katie
you
and
share
I,
with us some of the more interesting ones?
Well, a lot of them ended up in the films.
Okay.
I know, but, you're talking way too much.
Yeah, but this child, can I name him?
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie, he's beautiful. He's this, he's actually the lead in How to Make a Horror Film, and he had all these great ideas because he's very enthusiastic and passionate. And, you know, it was actually just a laugh a minute. Every time he'd come up with an idea, we would laugh and just go, Charlie, I want a child like you. You know, he was just so cool.
You know? Nice.
But you can't just take them home.
No, you're not allowed to take them home. Apparently the parents get upset.
Were there many soccer mum equivalents?
Ooh. Helicopter parents?
Yeah.
Not at all, actually.
No. No. Actually, I think when they first met Gareth and I over the phone, they thought, oh, you know, these might be really, really strict. I don't know who they are. And then the media's like, oh, okay, just two big kids who happen to be leading the boot camp. I think it kind of relaxed them, but also put them on edge.
Yeah.
And when we were late one day, yeah, you know, we were like, oh my God, this will totally test.
there was one day where the shoot ran a little bit late, and we were
at my boyfriend's house.
Bel Air, and you know, the parents were waiting to pick the kids up from the Media Resource Centre in Adelaide, and we weren't there yet, but you know, the parents, I think part of why the parents are so receptive to it is because they see for so much time leading up to the process that that their kids are really passionate, and you know, the parents come to put their kids in this program not just for a bit of, you know, school holiday babysitting, but because the kids are really into it, and they see the kids coming home exhausted every day and saying, oh, we did this and we did this and this was fun. And I think, you know, what that means is that the parents trust us. And so, you know, I think a lot of that helicopter parenting you talk about is from parents that don't have a lot of trust or faith in what's being delivered to their children, whereas the parents seem to really see the result.
And I just want to say it's hilarious when I actually did the ring around saying we've been shortlisted, and I called the parents. You know, I thought it might be a bit odd me just calling the children at school. So obviously, you know, calling the parents. But I did get loads of screams. Oh my God, really? As if it was like their film. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's great news.
They're already gowns.
Yeah.
The kids are like, oh yeah, like whatever, cool. Whereas the parents are like, oh my God.
In the parents' mind, it's like step one, shortlisted for Tropfest. Step two, I get mentioned in his Oscar acceptance speech.
Exactly.
Just to jump away.
Okay. We better get mentioned in the Oscar speech.
I know, we better.
You better ensure that when you see them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you run the boot camp, you do the planning, the filming, all that jazz. But, I mean, what other work has to go into getting these films ready for submission? And, like, how do the kids handle that?
Okay. Yeah, there is quite a lot of work that goes into preparing a submission. And, you know, the guidelines come out, I guess, relatively late in the piece.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, when you actually apply for Tropfest Junior, you apply online. And I'm not... being disrespectful towards TropFest at all, but they don't send you a confirmation. It's quite a lengthy application form, actually. Oh, yeah. So there's, you know, it is a really time-consuming process, and it's very admirable that kids, you know, are so eager to be involved in this festival. And I think it's a very good learning platform for them to actually get used to. It's like a good work experience, and, you know, these are the things that you have to do. You can't just post your film with a little smiley face and note saying, love Gareth.
You don't just film it and, like, bam, yeah, it's done.
And, like, you know, really get some into that professional mentality of this is the protocol that you need to go through. And
they have a pretty strict rule with TropFest Junior, particularly about obviously the age group that it's aimed at, that they're allowed to have one adult that can appear in the film and sort of mentor and help. So, and that's why we make multiple films, because Katie will basically act as mentor for one and I'll act as mentor for another. So when it comes to some of that more complex, you know, submission stuff where, you know, they want music cue sheets and that sort of thing, that's where our role as mentors is to step in and help the kids understand what it is that the festival is asking for, and to make sure that it's all submitted correctly.
And they only basically, they give you, once you're shortlisted, that's when you will receive the list of deliverables. And obviously children probably never heard of deliverables before. So that's where, again, yeah, we really, really thoroughly step in and then show them exactly what to do. So then if logistically, they want to make it next year on their own, then they can obviously do it with their eyes closed, basically.
Logistically, you know, no one is ever actually able to do something like submit a film for a festival without someone at least giving them some sort of pointer as to where to go. Like, that's just not the way the world works.
Even as an adult, the first festival you submit to, you've got no idea what you're doing, and you need to, you know, I remember, you know, the first time I ever submitted one of my films, just looking at it, going, I don't know what half of this means.
Yeah,
I had to go to somebody else that had already submitted dozens of films and go, how did you do it? Oh, yeah, well, I found out from so-and-so, and this is what you do. So
I feel the same way about doing my taxes.
I think that doesn't change. Like, I think it doesn't matter how many.
Although we're artists, you've got to earn money to pay tax. So, and then you know.
boom. So what happens from here? When can we expect the finalists to be announced?
In the next week, actually.
Ooh, exciting.
Won't we have egg on our face if we're not in? That'd be fantastic if we could.
Yeah, you should invite us back.
Only if we get in, because we don't really want to come back to commiserate.
And what happens with the movies that reach the final stage?
Well, as a previous finalist, we can, you know, we know exactly what to do. What happened last year, it was very exciting. The kids were invited to take part in a press media day, which was in Sydney. So I actually went over last year, and we went to the Opera House. And they just, you know, were constantly papped and interviewed by all these different newspapers and broadcasters, actually. So it's a great day for them and a good way to get exposure and really learn about, okay, it's not just about simply submitting a film. It's about the whole package and publicising it. It's what you do in the real world. You know, you don't want a film to end up sitting on your shelf and then being it pulled out at Christmas time just to show grandma. You really, really do want to maximum exposure as possible.
And so I'm guessing boot camp will happen again next year?
This year?
It's 2013 now.
I know. Yeah. It always is a bit confusing. we run the boot camp, tends to be around like August, September. So we ran it obviously in 2012 for entry, because the deadline is January. So yeah, we will be running it again in the school holidays during September.
So for people interested in the boot camp, where should they go to find out more?
Well, they should call the Media Resource Centre on
84100979.
I only started full time at the Media Resource Centre in November. Okay, I'm still
we'll forgive you.
I've been there 2 years, and it's taken me 2 years to remember that number.
So. Oh, you know, just
we're also
just
located
Google.
At 13 Morfitt Street in Adelaide, which is above the Mercury Cinema next to the Jam Factory, so people can come in and see us directly.
Can I just say, I'm so sorry. Agora was actually TropFest Adult, and that was by Neil Irwin and Pia West, and that was part of the First Shot Initiative, which is an incredible achievement for that filmmaking team, because they made it on zero budget, and the MRC gave them in-kind support. So we're absolutely ecstatic to obviously get two TropFest Junior and then one TropFest Adult.
Both categories, we're going to dominate.
Yeah.
Go the MRC.
Now, We are going to let you guys run off in just a second. But before we do, we have a question that we're going to be asking many guests throughout 2013. So
we probably should have prepped you for this.
We should have prepped you for this. But we're going to give you 30 seconds to pitch a film starring James Franco. It can be any film, but it has to star James Franco.
Oh,
you have 30 seconds.
You know who James Franco is?
Yeah, of course. Oh, good. I do.
Correct. step one achieved.
Yeah.
So we can make up our own film.
Yeah, just
any idea. We want an idea for a film starring James Franco.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the advance notice, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, so James Franco is a spoiled rich kid, and his parents basically are fed up with him just jumping from course to course and paying all this money and him never committing to anything. So he basically gets caught up on his parents, and then he decides to set up a fashion label and orders all these shoes and accessories, but what turns up is inflatable dolls.
And then of course he meets a young Rachel Bilson who comes in and I'm making this up as I go along, who comes in and judges him for his lackluster choices in life, and it becomes a comedy of errors until obviously eventually in the final frame there's the big kiss and then
the inflatable doll business is just booming by the end of the film,
and she realises that she's been prejudging him as well and that they've both grown and learned from the experience.
And like throughout the film he realises how important it is to really continually comb your hair and keep it looking really sleek.
And now that we've come up with that, we've got 4 days to shoot it and edit it.
Yeah.
That was...
Come back next week, tell us how that goes.
That was surprisingly coherent.
I was going to say, considering that we gave you absolutely zero notice for that, that was amazing. Bravo.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll
do a high five.
Yeah.
We may, at the end of this year, if this idea doesn't get really tired, pick the best pitch from the year. So you guys...
And crew, in the pool.
Do we get a present?
So we've got the inflatable doll business. Romantic comedy.
Oh, is that going to be the name? Inflatable doll business?
Inflatable dreams.
Inflatable dreams.
There we go. I like that. On that note, Katie Powell, Gareth Wilkes, thank you so much for joining us this morning and telling us all about Junior Tropfest.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to go to a track from the Rubens. This is My Gun. You're on Behind the Screens on Radio Adelaide.
That was My Gun by the Rubens, and you're listening to Radio Adelaide and on Behind the Scenes, or the other way around. The one that makes sense.
Behind the Screens on Radio Adelaide with Jordan and Finlay.
Hey, how you doing?
Been a jam-packed show, and we're actually out of time. It just, completely disappeared there.
Well, I didn't realise the clock had stopped, so that's awkward.
Yeah, Finlay thought we still had half an hour. But no, this has been Behind the Screens. Streetcast is up next. To take us out, we're going to a track from Art of Sleeping. This is Empty Hands. We'll catch you next week.
See you guys.